This morning, good morning. I want to say good morning to everyone. I want to start, we'll start off in the book, but we're going to deviate a little bit from that. We're here at G on page 12. G on page 12. Who needs a book? You need a book? Okay, anybody need a book? Somebody want to read number one there and on page 12. It's talking about the Word of God. There's no finer place to turn for strength than the Lord's Word, than God's Word. And then number two, it's Psalm 119:28 says, "My soul melts for heaviness." For sorrow, because of sorrow, my soul melts, withers away. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. We're talking about strengthening, and there's no finer place than to turn for strength in God's word. So on that, I want to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 gives us some description of God's word and how God describes his word and how we should value it as well. Psalm 119, we'll turn to beginning at verse 72. Does anybody want to read that when you get there? Psalm 119, it began in verse, or it's just verse 72. Brother Shanks. Go ahead, Brother Shanks. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. It's valuable, isn't it? It should be valuable to us. It should hold some value to us. It should be as though God's word is more valuable than anything the world has to offer. Anything that we come across in this world, we should not exchange it for the word of God. It's valuable, and we should have that mindset that it's valuable, and we shouldn't try to forsake it or not to study it, not to read it, because it can strengthen us. If we, and some are not as familiar with the God's word as they should be, and then those who are familiar, it's just an attitude of being reminded of those things that God's word is. And here it says, God's word is valuable, more valuable than anything in the world. And then there's a verse 89. Verse 89 describes God's word. Anybody can read that when you get there? Yes. You're up. That's right. And that reminds me of that passage in Romans where they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Sister Linda? Exactly right. Brother Harris? See, that's what we should keep in mind, that this word, God's word, can save us, can strengthen us, can give us so much more than what the world has to offer. And so we should value it highly. Anybody else? His brother said, it's not, you cannot exchange it. You can't give anything for it, just as your soul. There's nothing more valuable than your soul. There's nothing you can give for it. Nothing you can give for it. Any more comments on 72? Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead. It's just for showing off. Yeah, just for show. You're right. Sell it not, yes. Yes. That's why it so should be valuable to us. And God's word, he describes his word as valuable. Yeah. Valuable to us. And we should have that same mindset, right? Let's turn to verse 89 in Psalm 119. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. God's word is settled. There's no deviations. There's no changes. His word is settled, and we have it in his book form. Nothing is going to change. So it's settled. So anything we try to go around, or people try to go around God's word and say things or do things contrary to his word, his word's already settled. What you're doing is putting your soul in jeopardy by changing God's word. It's settled. There's no need for us to try to deviate or change in any way, any form, because we're putting ourselves in danger. And there's another reference in 1 Peter, cross-reference, 1 Peter 1:25 to that. 1 Peter 1:25. We can begin at 24, whoever wants to read that. 24 and 25. We see it in the Psalms, and then we see it in Peter's letter. His word remains forever. It's already settled in heaven. So those who try to come about it and change it, it's already settled.
That's right.
The organization of the church, you try to change it, it's already settled. The work of the church, you try to change it, it's already settled. You can't change it. God has already settled that. And the Bible tells us it's settled in heaven. And then here in 1 Peter, it says the word of the Lord remains forever. Everything else will pass away, but God's word remains forever. So don't try to change it. Don't try to do anything that deviates from it. You know, some people, they'll still have the Lord's Supper, but they'll have it on Saturday evening. Having it for convenience sake. See, a lot of people do things out of convenience sake, either not knowing or just being not knowing, or just because they don't care to do those things because that's what they want to do. Not fearing God. Because a lot of this is not fearing God. A lot of it is not having respect for his word. And that's why we look at Psalms 119 that describes God's word. We see where it's valuable, and we understand it's settled. Sister Linda. You make a good point. So how do we get to that point where you said it's embedded in us? It's a part of us. How do we get to that point where it's a part of our lives and it's something that we think about all day long? Something that we What'd you say? Study. We have to study God's word and take it in. And then once we take it in and we believe it wholeheartedly, then our faith starts, and then we start to act that out, right? The Bible says, love your enemies. Those that despise you, persecute you. That's a hard commandment. But God knows we can do it, right? Or he wouldn't have put that in the Bible, which is settled in heaven. Sister Vonnie? In some of the letters that some of the writers wrote, sometimes they would say, I want to bring back to your remembrance. I want to remind you. So repetition, repetition, repetition. So some people, they might not want to come to service because I've heard it all, but some things you might not have heard or you might not have intaked that you might intake this time to help you along your Christian journey.
Yeah, and that's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. And also, when you mentioned it, made me think about Matthew 24:34-35. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things, heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will never pass away.
So we have to really believe that, and so understand, because here in Psalm 119, God describes his word and to us and how we should understand it and how we should actually feel about it as well. Any questions or comment? Brother Francis? Yeah, you know, God tells us some hard things to do, but he knows we can do it. Go ahead. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God, to study the Word of God and make it a part of our lives so we are not going in that direction. Going in this direction, is it easy? No, it's not easy. But think about the reward in the end. Think about the crown of righteousness in the end. That's what's worth it. And then going through these things in this life, we can deal with that knowing that the Bible tells us that this is just a little bit of affliction, light affliction compared to the reward in the end. All right, let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 128. And somebody can read that when they get there.
My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word.
Remember, 128, Psalm 119. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. Everything that comes out of God's mouth is right. And then the psalmist goes on to say, I hate every false way. I hate every false way. We should hate every false way. If it ain't according to God's word, we should hate it. And then if we can, we should tell those people who are propagating that false way, right? We should let them know, wait a minute, that's not according to the scriptures. Why are you saying that when it's not according to the scriptures? And so we should expose that every chance we get. Because God's word is right. And we should believe that. There's nothing wrong about it. There's nothing but rightness about God's word. Nothing. And I love the way the psalmist says, I hate every false way. God hates every false way. If it's not according to his word, it's false, right? If it's not in the Bible, it's false, right? That should be our mindset. That should be our mindset. And then we just can't stand by and be silent when we hear or see those things. We have to say something. That's why, I wouldn't say that's why, but we're in the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. And when we see things that are contrary to God's word, we have to speak up. We can't be silent and not say anything. Because what does it say? I think the saying goes, silence, about being silent is being in agreement with that. So we can't just be silent. Any questions or comment? Let's go to Psalm 119:104 to cross reference to that 128. So I get from your precepts, I get understand. I understand who you are, understand who I am, understand my responsibilities to you, and I hate every false way. See, I get understanding from your precepts. You tell me which way I need to go. You tell me when I'm down how I need to get up. You tell me to have courage when I don't feel courageous. From your precepts, I get understanding. Understand who I am and who you are. See, this Psalm 119 is describing God's words to us. And it should give us encouragement and confidence that his word is true, is pure, it's settled, and it's right. Any questions or comments? Let's go on to Psalm 103. Somebody want to read that? 119:103, verse 103. And I think that's what Sister Linda was referring to. It's how sweet are your words to my taste. She was talking about candy or whatever, and how sweet that candy was, and imagining how sweet your words are, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Sweeter than honey. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. I love it, right? Sweet are your words to my taste. It's just a good thing. It's just a good thing for us, for our lives as Christians. For those who aren't Christians, hopefully they can come to believing and understanding what God wants for them. God wants us in a home, eternal home with him. He doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to be in the devil's hell. He doesn't want that. So we get understanding and we get strength from God's word. But we got to believe that. And if we believe it, then we have to study. Can't say that enough. Study is so important. We study as a congregation, which is a great thing. That's what we're supposed to do. But we need to study in our individual homes too. We need to set aside time in our individual homes to study God's word. Spend some time with God. Spend some time alone in your quiet place studying God's word. You will be amazed. You will be amazed how much strength you can draw from God's word. It's not you. It's God's word. All right, let's go. Anybody have any questions or comments? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Exactly right. Let's turn to 160, Psalm 119, 160. Psalm 119, 160. The summation, the conclusion of your words, are, it's truth. We can't get around that. God's word is truth. And Jesus in his prayer in John chapter 17 said, "Thy word is truth." We can't get around that. So we have to understand that this book we call the Bible is the truth. It can guide us home to heaven if we allow it. But we can't be just observers. We have to be participants, right? We have to study God's word. We have to come into the assembly and worship together so that we can draw from one another. You know, God in his infinite wisdom allowed us to come together on the first day of the week so we can draw from one another. So we can see the faith of one another, and then we can be encouraged to go on. Because sometimes we might not feel like going on. Sometimes we might not feel like it. But if we see others doing the things that God has commanded them to do, then we can say, if they can do it, then I can do it. Right? We're all in this together, right? Any questions or comments? Oh, go ahead, Brother Francis. It reminds me of singing a song that there's a place for everyone in the kingdom. Everybody has a purpose. A young Malachi, my son, he preached that one lesson. Everybody has a purpose in the kingdom. Everybody. Don't care who you are. Brian?
Yeah, well, you just mentioned about the encouragement.
Appreciate that. Let's go to Psalm. See, God's word, we can understand it, and we can see that it says it's valuable, it's settled, it's right, it's pure, and it's everlasting. We understand, we can understand those things, but once we understand those things, what do we do then? What do we do then? Let's go to verse 34 and 119. Verse 34, 119. Somebody can read that when they arrive there. See, we can pray to God. Some things we might not understand. Some things we will never understand in this book we call the Bible. But here the psalmist says, "Give me understanding. I want understanding that I may keep your law, that I may keep your commandments. I want to understand. I want to do what's right and observe it with my whole heart, not half-heartedly." Not sometimes, not when I feel like it, but with my whole heart, with my whole heart, with everything that I have in me, I want to do your will. I want to do your law. I want to be able to understand what I need to do to get to heaven, what I need to do to pick up my fellow man, what I need to do to bear the burden of my brother and sister in Christ. Give me understanding. Help me. And then there's 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20. Here John, he writes, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. He has revealed the Father to us. And now he has made a pathway for us, and all we have to do is follow." It's like being on a trail, right? Everybody follows the trail. Christ has made the trail. All we have to do is follow. Exactly how he followed, in obedience to the Father. And we can get there. So that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we can get that understanding if we desire it. If we desire it. But you know, study it. Can't say enough. It takes effort. It takes time. and effort and time, sometimes we just, because we have a whole lot of things going on in our lives, a whole lot of other things going on in our lives, and I just don't have time, and I just don't feel like it to study God's word. You got to want it, don't you? You got to want it. You got to have you got to be earnest about getting into heaven. Because to be honest with you, none of us, nobody's going to stumble into heaven. Nobody's going to stumble in, right? We got to work our way into there by studying God's word and then applying it to our lives. It's just how it is. We got one more for this morning. Verse 97, 119. Sir? I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother Knott. That's right. Appreciate that. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Go ahead. Goes back to what Brother Simmons said, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How much do we want to be in heaven? But first we have to understand who God is and who Jesus Christ is. Before we can understand or come to the conclusion or to the mindset of how much we want it. First we have to understand those two things. But understand who the Father is, understand who Jesus is. Any more comments or questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother C.
No, every day in our lives, we have to take time to eat and feed the body. We should put the same effort in spiritual food. Take the time, that's not, to open the Bible up to read it. It is more important, and that's something we do every day. And we give up prayer. When sin comes our way, we have something to fight with.
Can't fight without it, can you, brother? Can't fight without it. All right, it's 20 till this end. I appreciate everybody's participation. Appreciate it so much. Thank you.